You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, the scripture reading today is in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, let's open up in prayer when we got started. Father God, Lord, we pause now to set aside time to study your word. We thank you for the privilege whereby we get to do that. We know we're called to study to be approved in your sight. And we pray we take that to heart every day as we approach the scripture. We thank you for your completed word where you tell us that it's complete and that we are fully equipped for every good work according to your purpose. So now we pray this lesson gives glory to your Son Christ, and we thank you for what you have in store for us each and every day, Lord. So we thank you, and we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Hebrews 12:1. We read that that's the scripture reading. Going back to that verse here, we see, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, this obviously was written to Hebrews, hence the book of Hebrews, but I was working on the website, getting caught up in April, so I was listening to all of the lessons in April. Derek had a couple on the Passover for Easter, but he also had a couple on the Old Testament study. And I remember, I think it was the lesson on the 30th, you know, he opened with a Christian's greatest need. And it really caught my eye because, or ear if you would, because when I listened to it, he was really going into why does he spend all this time in the Old Testament? Because most people saying, oh, Old Testament's old times and New Testament new times. And we have our books, the seven books. Shouldn't we just, you know, spend time in there? And I'm reminded that he said he feels like when he goes through the Old Testament, he wants you to be encouraged to get to know the Bible, so that you might really be encouraged to study, though, so that you would be approved, because the Christian's greatest need is Christ, and to get to know the knowledge of him. You know, when Paul, at the end of his ministry, when he said, you know, that I might get to know him and the power of his resurrection, it was like 30 years after the time when he was converted on the road to Damascus. So if the Apostle Paul, after 30 years, would want to have the goal of getting to know him better, how ridiculous is it for us to think we're already there? You know, we know him. You know, oh, I got him, yeah. John 3:16, no big deal. Ephesians 3:9, I've got that. You know, I really know him. The pursuit is a constant pursuit daily, that we would set aside our own will and do as the Lord did when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed to say, with this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but thine. So chapter 12, verse 1, really speaks of a great cloud of witnesses. And that's really, if you back up to chapter 11, verse 1, you really get a great recap of heroes in the Old Testament. And, you know, he calls these heroes in the Old Testament a great cloud of witnesses. You know, all Scripture is for our learning. All Scripture may not be to us chronologically or dispensationally, but all Scripture is written for our learning so that we can see these great cloud of witnesses. For instance, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, you could say ages there, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made things which do appear. Bunch of fancy words there. What does that mean? Well, I guess by fiat of God, fiat is a word that means a command issued by legal authority. We have been marked off so that the things as they appear historically do not evolve from each other. Go to Psalms 33, verse 8. Psalms 33, 8 and 9. It says in the passage there, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world who stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." You know, this scripture was written before the atomic principle was ever popular. It was way before then, before people understood the atom and the splitting of atoms and DNA and all those things that if you had seen the DVD a couple of months ago, you went through that taught us about the biological machines that just crank out pieces of our body, I guess. I'm not very technical, but it shows you a phenomenal state that, you know, through the magnification of atoms and DNA and things like that, scientists now are getting to the point where they have to acknowledge intelligence was involved in the design of the human race, of the species here on earth. Go to Romans chapter 1. As Hebrews 1:3 said, you know, through faith we understand that the ages were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Romans 1:19 speaks to this. Romans 1:19, we'll read down to 23, starting at verse 19 here. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain of their imaginations, and the foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. A definition of a fool in Psalms is there is no God. Verse 23, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things." They threw themselves into idolatry. Now, it's funny, Hebrews 12:1 talks about, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Before that, it talks about, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." I guess Romans was a passage that was talking about that sin there. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." You know, Abel was the one who offered a more excellent sacrifice. Cain was, as Derek said in his lesson, Cain was one of the bad guys on the list. And Cain gave us murder. He was foundation of a murder there. But Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. And even being dead, his testimony was stood true. Okay. By faith, verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You know, chapter 11, 1 and 6 combined here is a great passage to really commit to memory, because without faith it's impossible to please him. We have to have faith. Okay? Just like Thomas, you know, was at the time when Christ was raised, and Thomas said, you know, I just don't believe it unless I see it. And when he appeared unto him, he told Thomas, I'm glad that you see and believe, but great are those who don't see and believe. You know, those who have faith. Verse 7, Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of those things not seen as yet, you know, it never rained in Noah's time. Yet he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he commanded the world, condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness wished by faith. It took 120 years for Noah and his family to build that ark. Now, if it hadn't rained at that time, 120 years is a long time to be on display building a boat. Okay? You know, I could see those guys come around saying, you know, Noah, what are you doing today? What are you building? Oh, I'm building an ark. It's going to flood. You what? Can't you see them having fun on Noah's behalf? Go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. You know, I could just hear those people come around and give him a hard time. And 120 years, he had to motivate his family to stay on task for 120 years. 120 seconds is a long time to motivate my family to do something, Carter. but 120 years. Well, it says Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. He started the clock at that time, and he said, go out and build an ark. You know, it's hard to think, you know, well, Noah built an ark, you know, and our standards, you know, he goes out and gets it done about, you know, a couple of months. But 120 years. He had to have faith. It had to be amazing, that faith that kept him going that long. You know, when we talk about this great cloud of witnesses, it really is amazing, these people and the works they committed by faith. Okay, back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. Now here's Abraham, actually Abram, in his own country, just cruising along, having a good time, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, get up and go. And Abram said, well, you know, I don't know where to go. And he said, just go. Go back to Genesis 15. Chapter 1. Genesis 15, verse 1. Let's take a look at it. Abraham. or Abram, and what he was called to do. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. We'll read down through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And the Lord said, Abram, and Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. You know, he was trying to figure it out. He was getting along in age, and he hadn't had an heir born into the house, and that's the way they pass things on. And it really bothered them. So, verse 5, And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now at the heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and it counted unto him for righteousness. You know, when the Lord said in verse 1, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward, you know, that would tend to fire you up, you know, get you pretty excited. But he was trying to figure it out and resolve it in his mind, because he said, What could you give me, seeing I go childless? Well, we know that he answered his prayer with Isaac, and he gave him a son. So go back to Hebrews 11:9. Okay. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now this is the first time a heavenly city is mentioned in the Bible as part of the journey Abram set out when he left, not knowing where he went. One of the things we found out was he was looking for this city, heavenly Jerusalem, with the builder and maker of God was promised in him. Well, isn't it profound that the Lord chose an earthly occupation as a carpenter rather than a shepherd, for instance? You know? You would think, shepherd, you know, he was, sheep, you know, rounding up the sheep. But what's the significance here of a carpenter? Well, the Lord was the great architect, designer, and fabricator of all things visible, including the city which hath the foundation. He is the preparer, arranger, and constructor, or constitutor, of ages or dispensations, and he condescended from heaven to follow during the days of his flesh a trade involving planning, calculation, and manual skill of a craftsman. You know, you think about that. That God, with his designing capabilities, designed, you know, heaven and earth, came when he was here on the flesh as a carpenter, who was practicing the same skills in his earthly job while he was here. I really think that it's fun to really think about that. Okay, back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah received herself strength to conceive seed, and will deliver a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Well, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You remember in verse 1, it talks about, you know, things unseen. verse 1. Let me remind you, read verse 1 again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It tells in verse 13 that they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They set their hearts on the vision in their mind of what was promised to them. Verse 14, for they that such things declare plainly, they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city. You know, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received a figure. You know, in this passage, we learn that Abraham knew that God could raise him from the dead if he had in order to keep its promise. Instead, in this passage, God introduced a scapegoat. Okay, this is a famous scapegoat picture, this is really a picture of Christ, in that Christ shed his blood for us in place of our own for the forgiveness of sins. Go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. This is the passage where that stuff was going on with Abraham and Isaac. In verse 12, he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not only withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught up in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. That really has to be, you know, was really challenging for Abraham. But he knew God could perform miracles. And he set aside his doubts and decided to follow God to do what he asked him to do. And they stopped him at the last minute and provided a ram as a scapegoat. Okay, verse 20, back in Hebrews 11. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he had died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Well, Joseph had faith that God would bring Israel out of Egypt. Go to Genesis chapter 50. Verse 25. It says there, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. He wanted to be part of that migration to the promised land. He had the faith and believed it. And when they left Egypt, they took his bones with them. Now back to Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. At that time in Egypt, the king commanded all the kids below a certain age be killed. And they had to hide Moses to save his life. Well, by faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, by choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, when the Egyptians and sank to do were drowned. You have 23 through 29 there showing the testimony of Moses. You know, Moses followed God instead of earthly riches. You know, we're told to do the same thing in our walk. Go to Philippians 1:29. Philippians is a book written to us. Paul tells us here that for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him. You see, it doesn't stop there. Oh, I believe on Christ. But also to suffer for his sake. Now, what kind of suffering do we do today? Come to church for, you know, an hour. We spend a heck of a lot more time out in the world, in our jobs, in school. What do we do that puts us in a position of suffering? Well, other countries, we see, you know, people that are out there risking their lives for the Word of God. Have you ever risked your life for the Word of God? I haven't. I've never been put in that situation. So, you know, my suffering on the scale or suffering, this is suffering, I was probably way over here. You know, we all are. We haven't really suffered unto death for the forgiveness of sins. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, wait a minute. If we deny him, he will deny us. Does that mean we can lose our salvation? If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. When we're saved, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That is a sealed thing. It can't be reversed. It's sealed with a mindset of it's a redemption of this heavenly calling, this earthly, this new nature that we're imparted with. Now, this passage here is talking about several things, and not talking about salvation only. It's talking about the walk and the witness you have after salvation. We are called with this calling in the mystery. Ephesians 3, 9, Colossians 1, 25, 26. To make all men see what is the fellowship of that mystery. It's a specific calling to people in Christ today. It has specific inheritance, rules to operate by, but if you deny him, if you deny your calling, he also would deny your ruling and reigning with him. Yet verse 13 in there, 2 Timothy 2, it tells us, he abides faithful, he cannot deny yourself. You know, you could say, well, I'm in, but you're not on top. In the mystery, we have been given all things in Christ and placed in the heavenlies far above all principalities and powers, and we are sitting with him, and we should stick to that and witness to that faith in our a walk. Philippians 3:17. Let's go there. Another book here in the mystery. Philippians 3:17, we'll read through 20. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in the house their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded again passage in Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily does beset us. Here it was saying, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We're not to mind earthly things. We're to mind heavenly things. If you recall Colossians 3:1-2, our memory verse this month, gets to the point. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Absolutely. Back to Hebrews 11:30. You know, we've gone through this laundry list of heroes of faith, a great cloud of witnesses. Through this Old Testament study that Derek's taking us through, we are getting a brushstroke, an overview of these great clouds. Okay? And verse 30 here, it continues. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that had believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned in flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. You know, what a laundry list of there to summarize the things that these people endured as they walked through their faith, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. All these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What a great cloud of witnesses. So hence, chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Okay. Now, this witnesses list, and you look at, go look at all the things that they did in their walk. And it's really a testimony for us in our walk that, you know, we have it easy. You know, we have it great in America here, the freedoms that we have here, and to come together and worship and open the Bible freely. We, you know, we're encouraged to really take to heart what is given to us in the Scriptures and really testify in our walk. To the point of if it really makes us suffer, you know, it's a good thing. Because, you know, if you, for instance, witness to your friends at work or at school or anybody along the road, they would tend to be like the people back when Noah was doing what he was asked to do, build a ship, build a boat. Well, we're not asked to build a boat today. We're asked to make home and see this fellowship, this mystery, to get in the Word of God, to testify that we have been given the final revelation of Scripture that's really special. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, drop down to chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us up together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages has not made known unto the sons of men, that is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 9. And to make all men, that men is in italics, I mean saints, see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages or world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Paul has been given this great secret, and he's telling us we're to make all saints see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We have this testimony here at Northside Bible Church. We have a website, rightdivision.com. We are small in number, but we're great. And hopefully our actions doing what the Lord would have us do. So let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for Hebrews 11. The chapter is a great cloud of witnesses. It goes through all the people in the Old Testament that by faith believed what you told them and stuck to it, Lord. And we pray that our actions, we would stick to it, if you would. That would be faithful to the calling which we've been given. And that's really to be approved in your sight, Lord. We thank you for all things that you've done and the forgiveness of sins and the position in heaven that we have with you. And we just thank you for your sake and pray with you. Pray that we would be mature in our calling and do what you have us to do. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.